Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. How's your marriage?
How is my marriage? That is a very big question. And to be honest, it completely depends what time of day of the week, the time of the month that you ask me. Right now, as of this second, James is working in the office. He's made me a cup of tea. He's been very lovely to me for the last couple of days. So it's great. Ask me tomorrow when he's done something to piss me off, when it's not. I don't think there's a straight answer. How's yours?
That's nice. That's nice though, isn't it? Because you guys have definitely had your ups and downs, and there's been moments where, you know, we were like, yeah, buckle up, baby. You're in for a ride here. But things are in a nice flow at the moment.
Yeah. I think, well, as with everything, like, things ebb and flow, and like, you have good times, you have bad times. I think one thing I really do feel like I've learned is, like, the longer that we've been together, is that we argue less now, for sure, because it's almost kind of like, sometimes what's the point? Like, we don't hold on to arguments in the same way that we used to anymore.
Same.
Which is nice, actually. It's really nice.
I feel like I've done loads of growth recently. Do you?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Is it the seven years into parenting and like been doing that for a long time, that kind of maybe your relationship becomes easier? I imagine that during the teenage years, things might flip on it, like on their head again, when you have those, you know, you sort of think you're going to be aligned and then maybe you're really not. But for now, we're good. How are you?
Yeah. Well, I guess before I answer that, we should say that, like, welcome to Friday's Q&A. Today, we're going to having a check-in around relationships, not just the romantic relationships.
Zoe's relationship with her mouth is not too great today.
Georgia, do not tell everyone. All right. Okay. Listen, I may have had a tiny bit of Botox in my barcodes, which are those lines at the top of your mouth. And it's basically, I can't talk. I don't like it at all.
It's really God.
Anyway, so that now you know where I am. You'll be listening out for it the whole podcast. We're going to be kind of checking in with those relationships. So the romantic ones, but also your mum tribes, the friends that you've made since your kids have been at school. Also just like your colleagues at work, just all of those important relationships that we have to navigate and how they are faring.
Exactly.
And I would say, well, actually, my marriage is in really good condition at the minute, which is great. I don't feel like I need to kind of talk about it. I have had quite an upsetting friendship that has been made clear to me that person no longer wants me in their life. And it's happened in the last week. And it's a friendship that has spun over 20 years. And actually, I haven't spoken to you about this, George, because I've been trying to process it. But this is somebody who I've known for a very, very long time, who I considered to be a very close friend of mine. And they basically turned around to me after me kind of checking in and making sure they were okay and checking in and not getting anything back. I then wrote this really vulnerable message to this person to say, you know, I love you so much. I'm sorry if I haven't been there for you, but just so you know, this is what's been going on in my life. We've got 20 years of friendship. I really would love the opportunity to be able to fix it and say sorry if I've done anything. And just like, I put my heart out and I got a message back that only can be described as cold, very to the point. It was almost like my boss was emailing me back telling me that I hadn't done a piece of work type feeling. And I just thought, I think that person's made it quite clear. And that has been really, really hard. Yeah. I didn't think at 41 I would have to navigate something like this that's impacted me so dramatically. But I have to think that person is going through so much in their life and obviously feels like I've let them down, that they don't have the capacity to go there. Yeah. And that's okay. Like, I have to try and make peace with that as much as it's going to pain me. I don't, you know, the old me would have, you know, kept calling and kept trying to fix it and da, 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 but actually, if they don't want me in their life, they don't want me in their life.
Yeah. And actually, I think the older you get, I think you've realized that so much quicker. Like, you can't make something work if it's not going to. And also, things can come back. Like, that's the other thing as well. Like,
I hope so.
You know, friendships go through all different phases, don't they? Like, I've got friends that I've known since school, and we might have had periods in like our life for like we haven't spoken for 5 years or something, and then sort of come back together again. And I do think that happens. And also, this is the other thing, so like, some people deal with things in different ways. Like, I feel like you do really talk things through, but sometimes when people are going through things, they shut down and push people away. No matter what you do, that's the way they're going to cope with it. So I think, I think we always have to remember that, actually, that just because someone's our friend and we've known them for a long time, that we're not the same. Like, we don't have the same heads. We don't have the same emotions. Like, people deal with things in different ways. And you've done the right thing.
I do feel like I've been, like, it's really, really hard. It's been really, really hard. But like you said, it's like, it might come back around again. And hopefully, like, the door for me will always be open when that person wants to have the conversation. And, you know, I guess it's timely, because we are going to be checking in on those relationships in our life today. So I'm going to start us off with, and also, by the way, this could be about your family and your parents, as this one is, how to deal with the disappointment of your parents not being as interested as you'd hoped. Oh my God.
Do you know what? I was going to go to this question straight away as well, because you would, the person who wrote this in, you wouldn't believe how often we get a question like this. Like, it's so unbelievably common. Like, you wouldn't believe how many people say that their parents don't have the role that they thought that they would have in their lives, and that it's not not how they imagined it would be. And so, like, you've spoken about this quite a bit, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in my mind, I'm like, how can you not be all over it? Like, this is your chance to put all of that love into my children so that you can have that amazing, special relationship with them. Not on your terms, but on their terms, because they're looking to you for that grandparent role. And when you just get this sort of meh back, you're just like, you want to knock their head against a brick wall. I've had so many arguments with my mom about this, because we tip up to Kenya, all guns blazing, expecting this incredible trip. And it's never, ever, ever as good as I think it's going to be, because I have to basically sit her down and go, get off your laptop, stop working on your charity, stop talking to your partner, and talk to your your grandchildren and your kids who are here to see you. And she still doesn't get it. It takes us about 10 days to get through it. And then suddenly I get this, as the holiday starts winding up, I get this, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I realize what I've done. And I think, oh, here we go. This is the pattern. So I really do understand the disappointment. And I'll be honest with you, it makes you love less. And that sounds very, very cold, but I can't keep putting myself out being like, here they are. Do you want to look after them? Do you want to engage with them? Because they're just not. On the flip side of that, I have a grandfather here. They have a grandfather here, my father-in-law, who is, when he's with them, no, nothing else matters. So I kind of get the best of both worlds, really. And I'm sure when they're a bit older, as she keeps saying, you know, when they're a bit older, I think I'll find more things in common with them.
And you know what? No, but you know what? I think sometimes parents do come into their own at different stages, like, for sure. Like, they might, you know, like, she might be amazing when, like, the girls are a bit older, or I think it can change, but I haven't really got experience with this. Like, I'm an only child. My children are their only grandchildren. So there is a lot of, you know, they do put a lot of effort in with them. Like, they really do. But I'm not saying it's perfect. Like, there are still things that really annoy me, like, about the way that they are with them. Not so much my mum, more so my dad.
No,
like, my dad,
amazing.
My dad will spoil them, like, in the wrong ways. And that annoys me. Like, sometimes, like you just said about the whole laptop thing, my dad will be looking after the kids. He hasn't seen them for, like, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever, and then he'll just give them his phone. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, do you not want to just talk to them? But I don't know. Yeah. I do find it difficult because you do feel disappointed for sure.
My top bit of advice is to bring your expectations, lower your levels of expectation. Once you start doing that and you start thinking, actually, do you know what? It'll look like how it will look and my kids will still get to interact with them. And yes, it might not be my ideal, but I am not them. Let it run. And just the minute you start thinking it has to look like this and I wish they'd do more of this, you're just constantly let down. So if you can just remove all that level of expectation, it might be easier for you.
Yeah.
Right, let's move on.
This is interesting. Parna acts like I do everything wrong because I do things differently to him.
Oh, that's annoying.
That is annoying. This is what Judgy James used to be like. This is why he's called Judgy James.
Oh, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. Yeah. That's not great.
And I totally feel you because there are some people who, I don't know, maybe this is like some kind, there maybe is some kind of anxiety to constantly point out faults in other people. Like, I do wonder sometimes if that some people have such high expectations on themselves of doing everything right. It might be the way they've been brought up, you know, like literally like rules. It's like ingrained in them to feel like everything has to be perfect all the time. And so the way they do it is
control,
the right way.
George.
Yeah, exactly. And it's difficult, like, to... I think it's difficult to break someone down who is like that. But I think people who are like that find it difficult to see. But when they do, they do. They totally get it. Like, for instance, James used to be, oh my God, like, I can't even tell you. Like, he was so strict with himself about everything.
Yeah.
Like, everything. And then then he would try and do that to me. I'm quite like a strong... I'm a strong person. I'm a strong character. And so I would never take it. So I would constantly just tell him back. No. And over the years, like, he has come around now and he's a more relaxed person now anyway. But there is a bigger picture there. And I think you have to realize that it's not personal and this is not, you're not doing anything wrong and it's not you. Like, it's really not. So don't make yourself feel bad and add to it. It's a them problem. It's not a you problem, for sure.
Having said that, when it's constant and you're constantly being belittled because you have your own way of doing things as much as your partner does. So actually, you should be empowering each other, you know, that there are different ways. It's not one size fits all with parenting. It's, you know, Dozer has different ways of doing things. You do, George, I do, you know, we need to support and get behind that. So if it was me, I would write down every time that your partner either tries to control the situation, belittles you, or makes you feel that you are not doing a good enough job. I would write it down over the course of a week or 2 weeks. And then I would sit down with them quite quietly and say, look, I really need to present this to you. And I really want to share this with you because I'm feeling X, Y, and Z. And I really think that we've got a really amazing opportunity to start working as a team and to start embracing each other's differences when it comes to the parenting aspects. Because I'm being left to feel like I'm doing everything wrong and it's making me really upset.
Yeah.
So this is what that would be a really good starting point. Keep it really calm. You don't want to have a row. This isn't pointing fingers. This is about they I imagine it will be met with a bit of kind of maybe a bit of anger and a bit of like, oh, you know, I'm only trying to do the best and blah, blah, blah. But you can just keep it really calm and just explain how you feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good luck.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we? Feeling really let down by my mum mates. How do we feel about this, George? Because you've got a really good circle of mum friends, haven't you?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess it depends how you class mum mates. Like, I've got my friends from school, like, and they are mums. I've got, you know, friends who I've met through work, and they are mums. And so we do things together. And then I've got people who I've met purely through the kids, and it's their friendship first. And then ours second, if that makes sense. Like, we're friends because our kids are friends. I don't know. Like, I think it really depends how you see each friendship. And we've said it before, like, but I do think in certain friendships you have to lower your expectations of people. And like, I can't say that I've felt let down by friendships that I've made recently, but maybe for me that's because I don't expect much, but I kind of don't. Like, I don't. Yeah. For friends I've known a long time, yeah, my expectations of them are so much higher. People, yes, that I've not known as long, my expectations aren't as high because I'm not as invested in the relationships. So I guess it depends why you feel let down. Like, what is it that you feel let down about? Do you feel like you're not, you know, you're not being supported by them? What aspect of that friendship is making you feel let down? And if it's a new friendship, like, do you put enough value on it to make it work? Or is it one of those things where you were friends when the babies were first born and actually it's not serving you anymore because you don't, you know, you've grown up and the kids have grown up? Or is it that you're just actually very different? Or do you want to put the time and effort into it and to, you know, to make it better? I think friendships are so complicated.
Oh my God. They can be so complicated. I think, George, you've just said everything there, really. I will say one thing that I've quickly discovered, that mum friends, at least the school mum friends, the groups are very, very like being back at school for me.
Really?
And actually elements... I mean, yeah, like, you only have to look around at like the groups that are formed and the WhatsApp groups and the, oh, we're doing wine on Friday at my house, but we haven't invited, da, 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 da. So, you know, and I feel element, like, I'm really lucky. I've got a really lovely group of mum mates at school, but I don't necessarily rely on them for anything because I've got my mates that I had before. And actually, I'm quite sort of self-sufficient. Mm. So I don't really buy into it too much, but I didn't really buy into big groups of mum mates. Oh, they weren't mums at that point, big groups of girls at school, because I found that quite intimidating too. So I think, yeah, like George just said, like, really have a look at what you need those mum friends for. And if you can have any conversations with them, I always think, I know it's really hard, that you're putting yourself out on the line and making yourself quite vulnerable. But I do believe that those honest conversations are the best way to go, because otherwise there's just micro resentments that build up and then you end up not talking.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. Good luck again.
Yeah, good luck. Why do friendships never get any easier? It's hard, isn't it?
Ours is pretty easy.
Ours is pretty easy. Yeah, and that is the way they should be. That's the thing, isn't it? Friendships should be easy. They should be. I'm not saying they always will be. There's always going to be like little bumps in the road, for sure. But
nothing you do annoys me.
Oh, nothing you do annoys me either.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
No. Don't cry, George. Get the tissues out. That's the nicest thing she's ever said to me, and I started it.
I just said the same thing back. But then you know that about me. I think that's the thing, isn't it? I think when you're like a proper, like properly friends with someone, you accept things about them and without even realizing. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But that's why I think the mum friendship thing comes up, because it's new friends, and it's, well, quite often it's new friends, isn't it? And it's like navigating like a new friendship, and I don't know. There's like, I just think there's a lot of pressure on mum friends, having mum friends. And actually, you're not always going to find your mum tribe that quickly or easily. You might not even find one at all. See, so many people here are like, how to actually find time for friends. Or I make plans and stick to them. I never, ever cancel on friends due to tiredness, like another
person. That's great.
Do. Yeah. Like, or someone else here, I don't have a mum tribe or friends, and I'm going to have my third baby in August. Like, there's just there's a lot of stuff around how to actually find the time to for friendships, and I think
I mean, Laura Guckian said something at our live actually that you know, friendships aren't necessarily, you know, taking the time to go and meet up with somebody and go and spend a morning with them, or go out on a night out with them if you ever get that opportunity. Or it could just be a phone call. You say, right, I'm going to give you a call today on the school run before I pick the kids up, and it's going to be 20 minutes and we're going to chat and catch up. And that happens once a week. Or, you know, I'm going to voice note you, and we voice note back and forth for a bit, and we make sure that we're checking in. For me, friendship is about being there for somebody and checking in and showing an interest in somebody else's life.
Yeah.
No matter what is going on in your life, being able to share the deepest, darkest, or the most trivial stuff, and just knowing that the other person is going to be there for you as much as you're going to be there for them. Now, I might not see some of my best friends for months and months on end. Same. Like my best friend, Nick, I didn't manage to see him from December the 6th until like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Now that's 3 months, but we were speaking on the phone twice or three times a week. We were making sure that we were commenting on things. We were checking in on our groups and stuff. And that is just what happened. I didn't for a second think that there was anything wrong with our friendship. It was just life got really busy. So I think, yeah, making time for it doesn't necessarily mean meeting up and doing it. It's just those check-ins.
I was going to say that, like, two of my best friends in the world live abroad, and like they live really far away. And I would say I'm closer to them than I've probably ever been. And we're closer than some of the people who, like, I'm closer to them than lots of my friends who live here, because we voice note. We send voice notes to each other. And that's the beauty of voice notes, is in that you don't have to be awake at the same time. You can pick them up when you need to pick them up. But actually, that fills my friendship void so often. Like, you have to see people to get that sort of, to fill that gap in your life. It can just be conversations. And like, let's face it, we're all so busy, especially when kids start having clubs at the weekend and like all of that kind of stuff. Sometimes the last thing you want to do is to actually go and physically see someone. And I think, like, checking in with friends and just chatting is like the most important thing, I think.
There's a really long one here, which I'm going to read out actually, because it's kind of similar to what I've just gone through. So distant from my best friend since she left London. She only talks to me about herself, her children, her issues. I could live in a box and she wouldn't know. She never asks about my children or comments on anything that I do. It's her wedding in the summer, and I feel once it's over, I'm a bridesmaid. We'll probably never be friends, because I feel we're so different now, and I'm just done pretending that this friendship is so one-sided. Do I address it or just let it go naturally? It's so sad, as we were so, so close. Oh, that is so sad.
Yeah, that is
Oh my
sad.
God. Listen, you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
if it was me, I would address it. I would address it, and I wouldn't hold any shame around saying to her, do you know what? This is how I feel. I feel you never ask me about my life, my kids. Mm. You never want to find out how I am. You know, you're not there for me emotionally. It's all one-sided, and I feel really sad about it. And I really want to do something about it, because we were absolutely inseparable. If that friendship is worth it, you've got to put yourself out there, not in a defensive way, not in an aggressive way, and just ask yourself the question, do you want this person in your life going forward? Right? Because at the moment, and she's probably completely consumed with her life, with her kids. She's got her wedding coming up. It's all about her. She knows that you're going to be there unconditionally, but unconditionally doesn't mean that somebody can take you, take the piss out of you basically, and take you for a ride. So I really would get out ahead of it, and I would really have the conversation. And if she turns around and said, I cannot believe you've done that. How dare you? I'm always there for you. Da, 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 da. See you later. Then you know.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what I was going to say. I think you almost have to mentally prepare yourself, don't you, for like both ways that the conversation can go, and be at peace with that, and know that you know, you can't go on feeling like this. Like, really, like, relationships, yes, they can be difficult, but ultimately they have to be, like, there has to be more good than there is bad. So, Agreed. I don't know. I know it's not as easy as just walking away, but I do sometimes feel like if it doesn't serve you, like don't be in it.
Agreed, George. What a lovely way to end the podcast.
Yes,
that it doesn't serve you, don't be in it.
Don't be in it. Get out.
Thank you so much for sending in all of your amazing questions. God, I love these podcasts.
Me too. Yeah, that was really good. And actually, it's good for us as well, because I feel like I come away from these like reevaluating. So beware, friends. If you're not serving me, I'll be blocking you. No, I'm joking. Not that hard.
Your chopped liver.
That's it.
And interestingly as well, that we talked a lot today about friendships rather than relationships.
Yeah,
romantic relationships.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe everyone's in love.
It's because they're all dead in
drunk
the water.
Drunk in love.
Oh, no, it's what you said, not what I said. Yeah. Thank you for sending in your questions. As always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe, and please give the podcast a little follow.
Yeah, and if you've got any feedback on this episode or topics you'd like us to cover, then do drop us a DM on Instagram. We're on @MadeByMamas, and we'll be back on Tuesday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity Studios production.
Today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.